views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello and welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. It is a delight to be with you. My name is Steve Kramer. As you may know, Spirit Fire Radio is a collaborative adventure. It is between Spirit Fire and the School for Esoteric Studies. We're both educational nonprofits. And my usual co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle, is off doing very good work in the world. She is going to be back next week when we start a brand new topic, compassion. We're going to spend 3 weeks talking about compassion in the same way we have done for the last 6 months. So it's pretty cool. We're 6 months into this endeavor of talking to you about the basic components of practical spirituality, sort of mapping out the spiritual path and offering ways in which you can make spirituality practical. How can you integrate certain spiritual principles into your day-to-day life? So we spent a whole month on right speech. We spent a whole month on right action, hope, harmlessness, goodwill, all coming together to sort of answer these questions, or this very basic question of what can I do to live a more conscious life? So we started this all off with humanity. And we really came to this sort of basic fundamental fact that on some level, we all suffer and we grow from our suffering. It sounds a bit like a rub, but that's just the way it goes. We share our wisdom from that suffering and our light, and that is how consciousness expands. So as a group, we came to the conclusion through all of these months, through all of these topics, that we're a part of the one life, that when we really get down to the basics of spirituality, it is that we are all a part of a one life. We are in it together. And so as a group consciousness, we sometimes look to each other for support. We look to each other for empathy or for wisdom. And that may be looking to leadership or those who preside over or speak to us as a group. And sometimes those leaders need to turn to someone themselves. They feel like they've hit a ceiling in terms of growth and they look to a coach or a counselor. And that brings in my very special friend who is in the wings. Michaela, welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. It's going to be a great conversation. So just to let you know, listeners, Michaela is a dear friend of mine, and we have had such wonderful conversations around spirituality. And she is an intuitive and energy healer, a spiritual counselor. But first and foremost, she works internationally with business leaders, and she works as a coach, so to speak, incorporating and integrating spiritual principles, you know, into their lives, into their inner landscape, so they may return as leaders to hopefully, and we're going to talk about this, you know, help others along their spiritual path or help others, I would say, like sort of find their purpose. So Michaela, that starts us out just by saying, I would love for you to just perhaps tell our listeners what it is that a spiritual coach does, or what it is that you, in your own words, that you do day to day professionally.
Okay. Well, I first want to say I almost feel like I'm in the perpetual Halloween day, meaning that I work as a facilitator and coach with these global leaders, business leaders, and really it's in what I affectionately call these six-day lockdowns. So we're together day and night, and we're working on their own journey as a human being, their transformational journey, as you said, looking at their inner landscape, who am I and what do I bring to leadership? what do I bring to my organization? And these organizations that these gentlemen and women run are quite large, as you can imagine. And I want to say we, because we have a team, but we operate really with bodies of work that are very left brain grounded. And this is why I say I'm in the Halloween kind of dress up space, because though I'm working on a spiritual level as a spiritual counselor, coach, energetic healer, et cetera, I'm dressed up as more of a business executive coach, facilitator, somatic coach, neuroscience facilitator, et cetera. So I would say, if that answers your question, we kind of work in them in disguise.
I love that you said, you know, this transformational journey, and it's why I'm excited about this conversation, because we're all on this transformational journey. And I love that you are, in a sense, I get to speak to you about a facilitator when there's a grand facilitator that is sort of all on this spiritual journey and I don't know, in disguise, but sort of entertaining us and having us inspired by their nice outfit of like, let's go follow this spiritual carrot. And you do this, you know, day to day, you know, you do this with leaders that will help transform our world. So as they are transforming themselves, hopefully, you know, as these are pretty prominent leaders globally, that we will see our world transform. So I love that there's this parallel between the sort of the personal and the group, which I love. So one thing I'd love to hear, in that you say that you sort of put on your business garb in a way, but this is very spiritual work. You know, I think we've seen this sort of this lovely integrating, or this lovely meeting of science, spirituality, even in terms of the business world. I think of that book that was in the late 80s, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I knew about it. It's kind of like business coaching combined with self-help, you know, that would be under the self-help, in the bookstore, it would be under that section. And they're all sound principles. They're all truths, you know, if you will. But you see now that there is a spiritual component that's starting to seep in. And it seems like there's this combining of these very business principles with spiritual principles, with self-help principles. Like, I even think of Esther Hicks, who we might know from the Law of Attraction. And mm-hmm. If you follow that path back, it all started with Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, which was really a book about just that, using the mind to be successful and grow rich. So are you finding that spirituality is finding its place with ease amongst the within the business world? Or do you find that you've got a sort of, is there trickery involved? Like, come on in, we're going to help you with growth, but actually this is all spiritual work. Or are they ready? You know, or is there an awareness that we're going to be working with our inner selves, which is spirituality?
Well, I would say it's a combination of that. To some, you need to be a little more tricky. But for the most part, I would say that in the past 5 years, specifically that I've been working with these particular global leaders, I think there's been a huge and rapid shift and it's quote unquote acceptable and palatable to them, and the reality of what can happen. So everything from language, and I'll just give you that as an example. So I would say 5 years ago, even 4 years ago, using the word energy or love or consciousness in a training, particularly on the first or second day or even third, is, you know, we have to really test the waters and test the group before we do that. And really, we wouldn't. And as the years have gone by, I would say in the last 2 years in particular, it's not even a thought now. We talk about energy. We talk about love. We say love. We say, I love you. We talk about what that means in their life. We talk about consciousness. We talk about awareness. Spirituality comes up. And to actions, what we actually do with individuals has exponentially gone deeper and deeper and deeper into more energetic healing, spiritual conversations. And I would say willingness would be the third thing. Willingness of these individuals has expanded, like the depth and breadth and that they will go, from what I've seen, has been tremendous. And each year it picks up momentum.
Nice. So when you say willingness, you mean receptivity. You find that there's, you know, like I love sort of words that appear when I say a word. It's like bubbles come up. So when I say willingness, I think of receptivity. And then when I think of receptivity, I think of openness. When I think of openness, I think of softening. Mm-hmm. And so that's an interesting conundrum, right? Right. When we think of CEOs and we think of world leaders, we think of them as sort of this alpha type. You know, and softness isn't something that would generally come to mind right away. Although what you're saying, what you're leading me to believe, is that people are starting to understand that there's actually power behind that. That to be powerful does not mean that you cannot be soft or you cannot be open. So when you say there's more of a willingness, would you go as far as saying there's a softening?
Completely. Matter of fact, I would say now, what's equated to strength, courage, is a softening, is an opening, is a willingness to go in and explore, is a willingness to be open, to be vulnerable, a willingness to connect to other people on a different level than was prior.
Oh, Michaela, that gives me chills. I know when something a beautiful truth and I get, so that totally gave me chills just of optimism, right? To hear you say that and know that you have access to truly to global leaders and that they are understanding that and living that and willing for 7 days on lockdown to that. Fascinating. So listen, or not fascinating, it's just beautifully optimistic, but fascinating as well. So I want to explore that a little more. We're going to go to break. And when we come back, I'd love to hear you just define those words in group, you know, love, consciousness, energy. I'd love to hear just a quick definition from you. We'll be right back after these words.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundation's retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature. Or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness meditation retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Do you want to heal your body and mind? Your body has a lot to tell you if you just learn to listen to your intuition. Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio, can help you peel away the layers that are holding you back from living your best life. Tune in to Rewired Life Radio. Learn to love, heal, celebrate on Transformation Talk Radio every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Connect with Audrey at audreymichelle.com.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com. Discover the healing medicine from the giant monkey tree frog Cambo. Cambo practitioner Ginny Rutherford and professional psychic Todd Rolson have come together for lively discussions of alternative healing medicines from the Amazon. Ginny and Todd bring you Cambo Talk Radio. Tune in each Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific to hear from guests all over the world with real life stories and the medicinal benefits of Cambo. For more information, visit CamboKiss.com.
Hello, welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. I am going it alone today, not at all actually alone, but my co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle, is off today and this week. So I am joined by a dear, beautiful spiritual leader, spiritual coach. Michaela is here with us and talking to us about leadership and ways that we can, we're getting the inside scoop on spiritual development. And Michaela, before the break, we were talking about the fact that you can speak in terms of energy, love, consciousness in ways that you even noticed, you said maybe 5 years ago, there wasn't such a willingness or an openness or I want to say maybe even a capacity to talk about these concepts in group without pushback or without some kind of resistance. So love, you know, how do you talk about the word love with business leaders? And what does that mean in terms of leadership, the word love?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so love is a tricky one, of course, because it brings up so much for everybody, right?
I want people to think that when you talk about love, you're talking about, I love my children, I love my wife, I love my husband, that it's a personal love, that we're talking
right.
about romantic or an intimate love. But how do you, in simple terms, expand that to mean something more?
Well, this is really funny because we use the term lover, actually. believe it or not. And what does that mean to really tap into our fullest potential internally? And this is partly what the journey is about for these leaders. And one part of that is really tapping into their lover. And what does that mean? Lover really is about our, it's the person or that part of ourselves that has the ability to connect deeply and truly and vulnerably with ourselves, first and foremost. So that's a journey in of itself that we go through. But also just being able to connect in that, the purity of love in a way with another individual. Now, that could be our spouse and our children. It could be our colleague. It could be a client. It could be someone we don't know in the world that's part of our community. It could be, it doesn't matter. It could be the tree outside your backyard for all we care. You know, it's all related. And so how do we interact in the world with all beings, all living beings, everything from a space of lover, meaning compassion, meaning awareness and humility and vulnerability, being able to go to the places that are painful. You know, you mentioned earlier on about suffering, you know, our humanity. And I always say, you know, I don't say this, Lao Tzu says this, but I love this quote, that new beginnings are often described as painful endings. So really jumping into these deep dive programs is a new beginning, but it's painful too, because we have to be willing to go there with ourselves. And that means to be able to hold and have the capacity to go there with someone else with just deep, profound love, openness, and compassion.
Yeah, so, it's because we're moving on to this in Spirify Radio in the next 6 months. We're going to go deeper into this idea of group awareness and how do we build that? I mean, we always come down to this idea, or we come down to we come down to the fact that we have to wrap our heads around this fundamental truth that we are all interconnected, we are all interdependent, and we're part of this one life, and that cooperation and adaptability are fundamental to our existence or even to our survival. And so You know, certainly business leaders, world leaders, any type of leader, they've got to understand principles of cooperation and adaptability. And that means you have to understand relationship. So I always think of love as well, love is understanding that fundamental truth that we are interconnected, we are interdependent, and we must act with cooperation. That, as you say, with the tree, right? Can I connect with the tree and realize that we're all part of this earth, and I need that tree as much as, you know, in a sense, it needs me and my awareness of it.
Definitely.
It makes me think of Darwin, not going off on a big, too much of a tangent, but the survival of the fittest. And that brings me back to this idea of, like, in a way, materialism, and, you know, it can be skewed even in the idea of corporate America or in capitalism, this idea of survival of the fittest. We think of the alpha, you know, that putting me first. And I'm sure that you come across that sort of ego quite a bit. You know, when one gets to a certain point in leadership, on some level, the ego will creep in. But Darwin really said many times that natural selection is as much about adaptability. In fact, like in The Descent of Man, he basically talks about sympathy and that we have to care for each other. And it is the group that learns to care for one another that will survive and that will flourish, that we have to be sympathetic. So is there a moment, I would imagine, that you confront this quite a bit where the ego has to be first confronted and sort of dissolved, or the ego that is used as the vehicle for the group?
Yeah, so we call that affectionately, it's Wednesday, meaning that there's an arc to the week of the program, and it's always, you know, the storming, right? And it's reached in many different ways. The entire program is very experiential, so whatever taps into each person is unique to that person. So it's hard to say, well, we do X, and then the ego is like, oh my gosh, woken up and shattered, et cetera. But basically, I think it's the culmination of many things, and everyone is affected differently. And however, they were all affected, they're all touched, and the storming happens. And I think, I don't know, it's these simple, beautiful, what you're saying about the interconnectedness and then the sympathy, the empathy, the compassion that once, and I guess we don't really say it's their ego, but essentially that's what it is. But once that's broken open and it's peeled back, what they're left with is just this, it's almost like little children, this beauty and purity of just wide-eyed and sweetness that prior was there, but just hidden, right, under the ego, under our stories, under our beliefs that whatever life is, whatever my position is and what it means. And they're left being raw and gentle and kind and, as you said earlier, soft and open. And the interconnectedness, it's really small, but Steve, I'd love to share. There's been countless stories of these individuals who realize, and, you know, we all keep in touch afterwards. They're, you know, making WhatsApp groups all over the world and just, you know, continually inspiring each other and reconnecting. And they'll say that their relationship with their child has completely changed because now they realize, my goodness, like I can come home and actually do, you know, paint with their child every day and connect differently. Another would be saying we have a lot of their EAs who are in contact with our program managers, and they'll be writing back to us and immediately just, what did you do with, you know, my boss? Because he or she is now every day, every morning, how are you? Just a simple, how are you? Which they have never received before, and feeling that this is a genuine how are you. It's not a, you know, a learned language skill, but they can feel it, the presence of the individual and the care that they have as they're actually making eye contact and feeling their heart when they ask, how are you? Anyway, little things, but
Well, those are huge things. I mean,
huge, right?
Are huge things. And so I will be very interested, and perhaps a little bit later in the show, we can talk about that, like the results, that if you know how the results show in the company, you know, sort of how is the work you're doing together integrated? But a question before that is does it last? You know, I'm hearing, I can imagine after a 5-day workshop that, you know, these leaders, their life changes. They go back to work with a new attitude and they family life changes. And there's sort of, I'm sensing, as you say, like they can go home and paint with their child. It becomes not this sort of, you realize that it's not just only focusing on work, that you've got to be a fully well-rounded human being and bring that humanity to work. And that helps in the whole scenario. But do you find is this something that people have to do every 6 months to sort of keep up with that? Or do you, like, are these people that you work with on a regular basis, or does this sort of transformation happen and they're able to hold on to that? I know it's different for everybody and it's hard to generalize, but I'm just curious, within the way your company works, is this something that most leaders do on a regular basis? So when we get back, that question and more. We'll be right back after these words.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Hi there, my name is Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio and a spiritual growth coach. I talk about this all the time on my show, listening to your body and acting on intuition. What do these things even mean? Here's the thing. About 10 years ago, I figured out I was doing it all wrong. I mean, I wasn't unhappy, but was I really happy? And then life sent me a spiritual smackdown, like it does, because I wasn't listening to my best resource, my body and my intuition. I was living from a place of fear. I was stressed and I was in pain, and I seemed to be happily unhappy. Mostly, I just didn't know what I didn't know. And what I didn't know was that my body and my intuition had all the tools I needed to live life as my best self. I'm sharing the tools I have learned over the last 10 years of my healing journey in my online class, Soul Awakening, beginning September 19th. Learn more. Go to audreymichelle.com/awaken. That's Audrey Michelle, spelled michelle.com/awaken.
Gain powerful insight and practical tools to support you on your spiritual journey. Access your higher self and tune in every second and fourth Thursday at 12 p.m. Pacific to A Life Untethered with Andrew Martin, Walking the Path of Freedom. Andrew is a highly attuned intuitive oracle, energy worker, spiritual teacher, and international radio host. For more about Andrew and his services, visit thelightedones.com.
Known for his keen sense of humor, contagious smile, and extensive esoteric wisdom, EJ translates deep spiritual wisdom into practical advice to empower you to live your happiest, most fulfilled experience. Mystic Living Radio, Deep Spiritual Wisdom, Practical Advice with EJ, Eliyahu Gihon. This hit show delivers profound experiences for all who want to live life to their deepest desires. Tune in monthly for Mystic Living Radio. Learn more by visiting vitaltransformation.org.
Thrive is what we experience when our mind, body, and soul operate as one. When we thrive, we excel on all levels. Thrive is the mindset that matters. It is essential to our being. Have you ever found yourself looking for the instruction manual on how to thrive? You'll find everything you need to help you feel strong, powerful, and peaceful in your own body. So don't waste any more time. Visit thrivebyjen.com today.
Hello, welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. Kelly just asked that, like, I'm just curious about that. You know, is the program something that happens over, is it something that they do regularly, or is this kind of a one-shot deal?
Yeah, so no, they don't need to do it regularly. It's sustainable. And I would say there are other little follow-ups that help enhance or embed. You know, there's alumni groups for these particular leaders. There's potentially deeper work one-on-one, which is something else that myself and a bunch of other people offer. So it could be a one-day intensive or two-day one-on-one working on a particular piece that began during the intensive. But yeah, it's not that they, it really is, it's an internal shift. And I think that's the biggest difference, is it's not about building skill in a sense of, I'm going to learn to say the right words and then the other person will feel loved. You know, it's not really about that. It's about going deep inside, like really turning around and looking inside and experiencing, and not just seeing. It's really about the experience, right? It's about eating the orange versus reading about what it tastes like. Go inside and really look at oneself and explore, be curious. And so because it is a internal shift, it's not about learning a skill. And that's where the sustainability comes. It is an internal movement, a shift. It's sort of, as you talk about Esther Hicks, right? It's learning their own internal navigation system and following that.
Beautiful. So is this done? You've mentioned that this is group work. So when you talked about it, like the orange versus experiencing the orange versus, you know, reading about the orange. So it's like, okay, I could learn about spiritual growth from a book, or I could really dive in and do this. So I'm wondering, how important is this as a group work, as a group process? So for instance, I'm an executive and I feel that I just like to up my game. I feel there's more potential for me. I feel there's a greater calling or a greater purpose for me. And I come to you, or I come to your company. Am I then with other executives, or am I working with you one-on-one, and am I working in group? How does that work?
Steve, so it is a group, and it's this particular level that I'm referring to. Granted, there's many, many that we have and that we're involved with. But this particular for this conversation is a bit small, so I would say around 12 to 14 people, and they're all at the same level. And these individuals are joining together, and part of what they're lacking in their life is community. It's really challenging and lonely, actually, being at their level. People don't give them honest feedback, and they're seeking it. So they're actually amazingly quite humble and seeking true, honest feedback. They want to become better. So they journey together through the program, and throughout the program, there is just numerous opportunities to work one-on-one. So we have a huge team there in comparison to the number of participants. And so it's a combination of both. So we could be going through something in the program and someone gets triggered by something. And so an example would be, I would go to that person and potentially take them out of the room and do one-on-one work with them to help them through whatever it is they're going through. And then he or she rejoins. And sometimes we do one-on-one work right in the room. And there's an incredible support and learning that happens when you witness and be witnessed as you're going through a process. And so there's value in just so much value in that process as well, doing it that way. So it really, the programs are so emergent. It's hard to say, but I would say a combination of all of that.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny. I even hear you say that they feel they're from their position, there's no one to talk to, or they're going this alone. I think we all feel that on some level. And it's interesting the ways that all of the work you're doing with them and this sort of, growth that they're experiencing, the ahas are, you know, all of us on the spiritual path are looking for that and are experiencing that when we strive for it. I'm curious to talk a bit about intuition, because what one thing I find must be interesting is, you know, execs and, you know, so much of the spiritual path has to do with the unknown, right? Being open to the unknown. And that is really what the corporate world is about. You know, an executive, I often find, I think of them, the ones that I know, they really lead with their gut, but yet they can't present it that way. They can't present it to the board. Well, I had this feeling. You know, you need viable data. And so this idea of being with their peers, being able to share this sort of way of being that wouldn't necessarily present itself in the boardroom or present itself, you know, in the traditional business model, that must be very relieving to them, right? To be able to experience this in group, right?
And
just reveal, you know.
Yeah. Well, and right, exactly. And they don't have opportunities, like you said, in their quote unquote, you know, real life outside of program. And it is so relief, I think, is the word. And I think you touched on that countless times. I mean, it's just relief to be able to be present in a room where it's quote unquote safe, where they can go there and they can express and they can question, they can support each other. They have all of that available. And also for some people who maybe haven't gone certain places, being able to test drive it, so to speak, and build that muscle to become comfortable. And of course they're learning all the while the practical aspects of this, as they, you know, as they return as a leader in their organization. And I guess I want to say also as a leader in their community or in the global community, right? Which is a very important part of the process as well, because they affect so many people. These people have, you know, they manage billions of dollars, hundreds of billion dollars. They manage hundreds of thousands of individuals who report to them, you know, so to speak. And whatever their industry and their business is, it's affecting, you know, millions of people in the world. So there's multiple levels. And so the practicality of being able to really build a capacity to be more of themselves, particularly, I think, in the lover sort of aspect, as we talked about earlier, is vitally important to them as a leader on all those levels.
And do you feel that they bring this back to the work? Feel that it's integrated? Do you feel that they are able or they are willing to sort of share this spiritual experience or spiritual lessons? Or does it just not get talked about in that term? There are just certain truths that they realize, a shift happens in them, and they bring that shift. They sort of bring this new sort of awareness or this new wholeness back to their decision-making process and back to the job. But do you feel there's a trickle down that shows in very real ways, like perhaps there's just simply more empathy on the workplace or less strict or limiting rules, like the workplace is not run as a machine, but perhaps it's a little more human, more vacations, more work from home time. Do you sense that there's a trickle down in very sort of real terms that the workplace and that the environment and the components of a workplace are shifting?
Yes, I do. Absolutely. I would say the key things are love, inspiration, joy, so having fun, and compassion. Those are the things that are trickling down. And an example would be one gentleman who he was in succession and took over as CEO, global CEO for his company. This gentleman, if I could say, was rather rigid. And I say this with all the love in my heart to him because I adore him. He was rather rigid coming in to the point of the first exercise. He was asking me to do it for him, which I said no completely. And I'll sit here with you, but I'm not doing it. And it had to do with an art piece. And in walking with him in nature during that week, he grew just a deep appreciation of nature and started taking photographs. He's a runner. So on his run, instead of running and focusing on the running, he would stop and appreciate a sunset, appreciate a beautiful flower. So learning to appreciate nature, right? Beauty, and stopping and pausing to notice and have those moments of appreciation. And the second thing is his ability in learning about himself, joy.
just joy and happiness, and the power of that when it comes from the heart, and in the form of actual dancing. The guy became this dancing king, I will say. And so the trickle down to your question about how this shows up in his organization is he starts off his meetings now. And he sent us a video actually of his meetings. So, it's not just, you know, hearsay, but he starts off his meetings, and again, hundreds of people at these meetings, with music and dance. He makes everyone get up and dance around and enjoy themselves, enjoy each other. And then also a moment of, as they sit down, of mindfulness, of silence and connection.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, is that part of the training as well? Is that part of the training of now I've experienced this joy. I've actually come to understand the results of appreciation. And I've had this overwhelming opening in my heart and understanding of basic truths. Like, here I am, this exec that has had this experience. Now, what do I do with this? How do I bring this back to the workplace? Because I've got a rhythm there, and this is very different than the rhythm. Is that part of your coaching, is how do I integrate that into the workplace?
Yes, for sure. And I would say, you know, everything is energy, right? And these individuals, energetic beings, when they walk in and when they walk out, are entirely different. And if we're looking at systemic harmony, and they in of themselves, because they are so shifted, they're state shifted, that whomever they come in contact with is an automatic change right there. So as far as they become the embodied new leader that they are, the new individual who's tapped into all of this internally. So that is one that's not really taught. It's just something innate. And I would say their viewpoint on how they look at their organization, how they look at the people they work with, how they look at their clients, how they look at their role as an individual, but also their organization's role in a society, completely shifts. So prior, it could be, you know, the alpha, as you were talking earlier, alpha leader with, you know, looking at the bottom line. Now it's me as a human being who is exactly like you as a human being, and the responsibility that we have to each other in this world. And what does that mean?
Beautiful. Yeah, that's so optimistic. You know, I literally have in my notes, you know, I'm sitting here with some notes I wanted to talk to you about. And I love this quote. I don't know why I keep bringing up Esther Hicks. I guess she's like one of my spiritual heroes. She says she doesn't say it right. You know, of course, infinite intelligence says that the basis of life is freedom and the purpose of life is joy. And I have written next to that, you know, with freedom comes responsibility. And I love that you mentioned that word, responsibility. And, you know, you create your world, and what does it look like? So these leaders are realizing, all right, I've got the freedom to choose what my approach to life is like, but I now have a responsibility to bring this to my workplace, because I am going to shape that. I'm a leader in my job. My responsibility is to create this work world, this corporate world, and I've got the responsibility. I've got the freedom and the responsibility to shape that. And joy is creative. You know, once you experience the purpose of life being joy, once you experience joy, you've experienced such a creative force that it can't help but generate that, you know, this like, I'm ready to go. I want to reshape everything. So how that's such a strong component of the work that you do, that joy is really an aspect of it, because there's just not a more powerful force generated than when we experience joy. So we're going to go to a break, and then I want to talk a little bit about some possible like pushback when they're done with this, when we get back.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundations Retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature, or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness meditation retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Now you can be a part of one of the most powerful programs to help create a more joyful, loving, abundant, and peaceful world. Every day at 12 noon in any time zone, join millions of other people around the world to spend a few minutes in joy, love, and gratitude. Brought to you by Robert Schoenfeld, host of the Art of Powerful Living Radio. Together, we can raise the vibration of the planet. For more information, visit globalmomentofjoy.com.
Tune in to the Psychic Professor's Show, The Voices of Spirit Radio, with international medium and spirit artist Dr. Susan Barnes on Transformation Talk Radio. Featuring a variety of spiritual topics such as psychic art, spiritualism, EVP, psychic development, and mediumship. This hit call-in show provides listeners with breakthrough wisdom to enliven and enlighten their lives. Visit spiritartgallery.net.
Tune in each Friday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back. We are blessed to have the inside scoop with my dear friend, Michaela, on global leaders and global corporate leaders and ways that they are growing and shifting and sort of changing their leadership, the quality they bring, bringing heart, bringing joy, bringing compassion to the workplace and to leadership. And certainly the trickle down, we will all experience that. And we all want to, you know, see a world where our leaders are leading from the heart. So Michaela, I wanted to ask you one question. So here's a corporate leader who takes this time off to go on this spiritual journey and discovers appreciation, discovers joy, discovers, you know, really their innermost. And now they look back at this structure they have created or the corporate model. Does it ever happen in your experience that when they look at that, that it is so sort of locked into a place of we've got to get, stock, our company's stock value comes first, that we're not looking at long term, you know, that somehow the structure is so locked in place. Do they ever say, you know, where they sort of came into this to say, I'm going to bring this back to the workplace and back to the corporate environment, and I'm going to work to make it better? Do they ever go, you know what, actually, that model doesn't work for me anymore, and I'm moving on? And they say, you did this. You know, I'm wondering if that ever happens, that you realize that the corporate world isn't actually for them. Is that something that has to be sort of, is there a safety net for that?
Well, okay, so I think, well, truthfully, from my experience, I can say that has not happened per se.
That's beautiful.
That has not happened. What has happened, though, within the same organization, if they are, let's say, in succession for CEO, they could come to a realization of what they're truly passionate about, you know, through that inspiration and joy, right? What really is my purpose? And they're inspired. And when they quiet down and learn to go inside and learn to listen and learn to be with whatever's arising, learn all of that, get to know themselves better, they can listen. And when they listen, I have experienced people deciding that actually I don't want to become CEO. I want to move in the direction of X or Y in the organization because of that inspiration that's driving me.
And they find their place. Finding their purpose.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Which is what we're all here to do. So beautiful that you facilitate this with people who, you know, on some level they've gotten to this point where, all right, they think they know it all. And they say, well, actually, there's always a greater knowing. You know, we always open up. Here we are right back at the beginning again and learning fundamental truths. So what would you say are the components? You know, you and I, we both have a similar job in that, you know, listeners, I run a meditative retreat center besides being a radio show host. So, you know, my job is to create an environment that will support growth. I need to create an opportunities for people to appreciate the world around them and for truth to be revealed. What would you say are the components? You know, you obviously have thought this out. If you have to go, you're going to Germany or you're going to England or you're going to Australia. And what are you looking for in terms of an environment? Like, what are the basic components that you think support growth?
The first thing that comes to mind is nature.
Beautiful.
And I would say that we have, just from the structure level, we have very, and I'm very particular, but we have very particular standards around having nature wherever we are. So that, you know, everything from forest to water, you know, so we have mountains and trails and water and bodies of water, whatever that may be.
Mm. So time spent alone with nature, time to appreciate nature and at oneness. There's something so great, right, that just happens when you are in nature. You realize that interconnectedness and that interdependence comes forward, right?
Yeah, and it's you know, I have a personal belief that, you know, God is love, but also God is nature. And when we are surrounded by and sit with nature in some capacity, it's almost like we're returning home to our essential being. And with that comes everything from laughter to tears to just deep wisdom and understanding.
Isn't that how we get to wisdom, right? Is laughter than tears. That,
yeah.
Then more laughter.
And then more laughter, I was going to say. Then hopefully laughter after that too.
Are those components, would you say then? Laughter and tears?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. Absolutely. There is never a moment in a program where everyone at some point, and actually several points, are just as joyful as children and also as just in sadness and despair and crying and feeling themselves sometimes for the first time, and then back to joy and the I love yous and a tremendous amount of affection for themselves and others, right?
Oh, that's beautiful. And so affection. And maybe some other components, like within the space as well. I would think silence, right? There's got to be a component of silence, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. So we have something called silent breakfast, which is really difficult for these individuals at first because they're so used to being, you know, the multitasking world, right? Particularly at their level. And so to sit quietly at breakfast, they love it. And it's difficult at the same time. So lots of silence. We actually build in surprisingly large amount of what we call integration time. So, for example, we could have a 3-hour quote unquote, you know, lunch break. Of course, that doesn't mean you're eating for 3 hours, but it's time alone, time to go for a walk, time to do one-on-one work if you want, time to, you know, learning to follow your own guidance. So if I need sleep, that's a way to integrate. If you will need to work out and go for a bike ride, do that. If you want to journal, if you want to go in the room and do artwork, if you want to have a quiet walk with someone and just be in their presence, it's really learning to follow and use that time to allow integration a lot of reflection, a lot of silence. And I'd like to say one more if I dare. We actually, as a faculty also, and I'm a huge proponent of this, is setting up actually a matrix that holds the room, you know, looking at everything as energetic, really setting up a space energetically to hold the space for these individuals with the deepest and most sincere care and love.
Oh, beautiful. Well, Michaela, we're almost at the end of the show. It's been so fast. It went so fast. I feel like I could ask you questions for hours, because everything you're saying really is about, it's about all of our spiritual journey and all of our transformational processes. But it's so inspiring, and it makes me feel optimistic to know that these leaders, are taking on spiritual concepts, scientific concepts, and really integrating them into not only their own lives, but into our workplace. I love it. You know, one last thing I want to say is a component. Is beauty a component?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I know.
Beauty in nature, beauty in the room. Yes, beauty and seeing beauty in each other. Absolutely.
Because I sort of put a list together, and it's funny, we're so aligned all the time. My list of things that I thought were components is everything you said, but then I wrote, dare I say, beauty. And, you know, I've been in your presence, and you are beautiful. You're beautiful in every way. I sense the fullness of who you are the minute we're together. And what I think is beautiful, you know, it's just beauty comes forward, and there's beauty in truth. You know, there's beauty in gentleness. There's beauty in silence. There's beauty in integration. There's beauty in discovery. There's beauty in tears. I guess for me, I'm a sucker for beauty. So, Michaela, it's been wonderful for you to just give us the inside scoop. So many times on this show, we've got coaches who are telling us what to do. But it's lovely to be on the inside and actually hear what those are doing who are going to be telling others what to do. So it's just been this fascinating sort of behind-the-scenes look of ways that we can sort of take refuge in the fact that you know, the movers and shakers, they care too, and they're doing their best to make this world a better place by starting with transforming themselves. So thank you for joining us, and thank you for doing this work. You know, you're an important piece in that, right? Just being there for those who don't often have somebody to turn to, because they are the ones they get turned to all the time. So thank you for the wisdom and the fun, and keep on keeping on. Anything you look forward to in the future with work?
Doing more of it. We've actually launched out of this program, sort of the next level N-1 program for the people right below them that they want to bring into their organization. So that is one way also that is transforming within their organization and the world.
That they'll be incorporating this kind
of
thing within, on the inside.
Yes. Yes.
Beautiful. Well, Michaela, you keep on keeping on. It's been a joy. Thank you for joining
us
on Spirit Fire Radio.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, listen, we'll be back next week, and Dr. Dorothy Riddle will be back, and we'll be talking about compassion. Join us.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.